Hello, hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Plugged In, the very unreliable betting podcast. We took a little bit of a hiatus last week on the back of a very big win from Mark Fox. We actually set up the call. He just didn't show up. I think he's too big time now because he finally had a winner. But we're back this week to pick out a few more winners from the massive events that are, of course, China and the CJ Byron Nelson Cup or something. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, delighted to be joined in the booth here by the one and only Mark Fox. Mark, how are you doing?
Ben, you're dead right. I'm sorry I missed the pod last week. I can't remember if I was in Las Vegas or Magaluf. It was one of the two, but yeah, super week just celebrating all around. Scotty Scheffler got the job done. Nelly Korda got the job done. We're coming in pretty hot this week.
Shagaluf, am I right, Mark?
Scottaluf with Scotty Scheffler. Oh, God, that's so bad. I'm so sorry.
I'm also delighted to be joined in the booth by my partner in crime, Scott. How are we doing?
Did somebody say Scottaluf? No, I'm good, Ben. Good to see you both. To be fair, Mark, great win, great double call. And they were really far out shots as well, the two of them. Yeah, they weren't favourites at all. So it was really good golfing knowledge there. Well done.
Do you know the acronym KISS? Keep it simple, stupid. Like, I'm just convinced we bet the favourites every single week because they're the main win weeks we've had with Scotty Scheffler.
Sure, if we did that, there'd be no point having this podcast where we just go deep dive. Like, you know, the billies I have here, I can tell you one thing, I'm not picking all the favourites.
I'm actually just looking at the outright winners that we've had. We've had a 6-1, a 10-1, a 6-1, no, a 4.5-1. And to be fair, your double was 29-1. So
that's... I had 18-1 David Puig over the Asian tour as well.
Yeah, okay. So look, we're doing okay. Just looking at our year total so far, obviously the loser of this has to get a tattoo. The Coverdip boys are up 45%. We have invested 1,300 billies, but we have got all that back as well as 582. Mark, for some reason, you've only invested 1,000, but you're deep in the red here. You are minus 26% year over year profit. So there's some work to be done if you're not going to have to get that tattoo.
I have heard very little about this tattoo until you've established an 800 billies lead here. So,
and I'm doing my best here, Mark, picking out 1,000-1 options. I'm trying to bring you back into the race, man, but you're just it's getting embarrassing.
Ben keeps texting me like, Mark, come on, we'll give you a chance. I guess Scott in the pod this week. And I'm like, Ben, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, there's a reason we're in the lead. It's only because I come on this podcast.
What have we been up to? Did we watch any golf this weekend? Did we play any golf? The sun is back out. It feels like golf season is officially here. Scott, what have you been up to?
Played a bit of golf Sunday. Monthly medal in the golf club. We won't talk about the result. Because I blew up on the second hole and then I realized, oh no, I have 16 more holes to go. So that was terrible.
Tough luck.
Yeah, so that was a tough day. And then watched a bit of the golf over the weekend. Nice to see Rory and Shane. I'm a big fan of team golf and I like an event like that that's a bit different. So it was cool. I'm also so intrigued by who's friends with who.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, they're playing together. And then it was cool seeing a couple of brothers. So you had the Cooties, you had the Højgaards. There's another one now that I can't think of off the top of my head. But I like the element. It's something different. It was cool kind of format. And obviously Shane and Rory winning was really cool. I will say, I do wonder, you've seen the videos of them singing, was it Don't Stop Believing or Journey or whatever they're singing. Was that trying to push it a bit like Live Golf? I don't know. Was it a bit more trying to make the fun side of it? But either way, Rory and Shane winning was really good.
I'd like if it became an elevated event and you actually got all the best players in the world teaming up to play in that. Because it's great when Rory shows up and plays with Shane. But I watch quite a lot of it. I can't even remember the lads that were coming down the stretch alongside them.
It's also worth, also when you watch like an event like that, it also means that we're able to bring up that time, Ben, where you and I played in the foursomes event in the links in the golf club and we shot 1-under in foursomes, which was arguably the best thing we've ever done in golf. But
it hasn't been replicated.
No, it has not. We've never got near that since, but still that was some round of golf.
Speaking of team golf, are you playing any team golf this year for the club?
I'm on the Junior Cup panel, and panel is the important word there because it's a big panel, and the way I played on Sunday, I shouldn't be on the golf course, let alone the panel. So We'll see is the way that I put it.
Are you, Mark?
I'm not, lads. my handicap was trending in the wrong direction. Confidence was an all-time low, and I said I'll give this year a pass.
Fair. Mark, what were you up to this weekend? Any golf? Were you watching any of it?
I did not get to watch any of it. I was actually lucky enough to go down and play a Dare Manor. I didn't post it on any. I didn't post it on any social media, lads, and there was a reason for that, but I was came away from the day with just so many stories, insights. Like the caddy at the Adair Manor Pro-Am, he was in JT's group and just talking about the course and how they're preparing for the Ryder Cup and just how great it was looking. But just had a smashing day on Sunday. Got out before the rain, teed off 10 o'clock, rain came about 1:30, walking up the 15th fairway. And just had a tremendous, tremendous day. I think, just want to know my biggest insight from the day. So my caddy was, like I mentioned, he was caddying for JT at the Adair Manor Pro-Am, and he turns around to JT, I think it was like a month after he won the PGA Championship, and he goes to him, JT, listen, I want to ask you a question. And he goes, yeah, fire ahead. He goes, how did you win the PGA Championship? Like, how did you perform that well under pressure coming down in a playoff hole? He's like, I like to play a little pressure games with myself. So the week before the PGA Championship, JT went out on the previous Sunday to a random course. And if he missed a green in regulation, he would make himself stand in that spot and chip in and play until he chipped in like 5 times. So he could have 6 or 7 hour rounds and he'd make a chip and then he'd make another chip and then he'd miss like 20 in a row and have to make another one. And he'd keep going until he made, and like, it was just the way that these players are built to perform under pressure, practicing by themselves all the time. And after these little games, like, I just thought it was absolutely fascinating how a player like that performs.
I often think how great it would be to be a professional golfer. And then I see the amount of practice that Shani does just to be a 2 handicap. And I think I couldn't possibly do the amount of practice you'd need to be a pro. Like, it is glitzy and glammy when you get to the top, but God, it's so much practice and perseverance. I just couldn't do that.
Let alone whatever about the amount of practice you have to do there for JT, like trying to chip in. Imagine being in the group behind him, like 7 hour rounds, just chip it in and move on to the next hole. You'd be livid.
Yeah. And like, he used to give himself random games. Like, he has to put with the putter backwards or put left-handed and make 3 in a row from 6 feet if he missed one from 6 feet. And just making up all these little games in his head that, so when he came to the PGA Championship and he was in the playoff group, that he knew he could perform under that pressure. Like, you're dead right, Ben. Yeah. It's not all glitz and glam.
I don't know how I could do it. That sounds amazing, though. It's always a treat to get into Adair. I've only played it once since it's been renovated. I'd say it's going to start getting very busy in the build-up to the Ryder Cup, so you did well to get out there.
My brother and I actually booked it 2 years ago. Here, I'll tell you what's a great present. My granny, for the last 2 Christmases and birthdays for me and my brother, she doesn't know what to get us anymore, so she'll throw us a €50 voucher. And over the space of 2 years, that's a birthday and a Christmas, it's about £200 in the pot, and you paid your £200. Like, yeah. It is expensive, but when you have stuff like that, cutting the costs,
it's worth it. For like, I don't think anyone expects to play Adair like 3 times a year. It's worth it to do it once every 3 years or whatever. Go and enjoy it and make a full day out of it. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, so you know the way, like, this is JT's paradise, and like, or sorry, not JT's, JP McManus's paradise. And when he was creating the course, he put like 30 billion or 30 million into it, and all he wanted to do was host a Ryder Cup and how pristine he wants it. So we are walking down the fairway, and the fairways are pristine green everywhere. But this little, I don't know if it's a disease or what it is, but just like, you could have 50 meters squared and be pure green, but there might be a tiny, tiny patch of yellow, like, whatever it is, some sort of disease. Apparently in 2 years, they're going to rip up the entire place and reseed it again, just because they are absolutely furious with the little patches of yellow.
What, they're going to do that before the Ryder Cup?
Before the Ryder Cup, apparently.
Jeez. Like,
but you could look out in the field and it'd be like finding a needle in a haystack. Like, you would not see the patch of yellow unless you were actually...
Mark, I'd have marched into the pro shop and asked for my money back. This is fucking ridiculous. Can you expect me to hit duff chips off yellow patches?
But Another one. But the first time we played it, this two and a half years ago, walked in the pro shop, and he's like, lads, you have €100 off your round today. The greens were pitchforked like 5 or 6 weeks ago. And they were exceptional. You would not have even recognized. Yeah. I thought that was a nice touch as well, because it's nothing worse than turning up to a nice course. And
it's been hollow timed. So you didn't watch any of the Zurich. Did you watch any of Live Adelaide?
I watched actually going down on the car on Sunday morning. I know everyone talks about this. Australia is starved of professional golf. That's not breaking news, but that is one place out of all the countries, out of all the areas in the world, Bandon, Dunes, Pinehurst, I would love to go to Australia, go down the belt.
Obviously, they seem to have got it right for Live Australia. Like, whatever they're doing down there is popular, it resonates, people want to watch golf. Why aren't they hosting 2, 3, 4 Live events down there? Like, it seems to work. Why bother going to Singapore where no one shows up? I understand this whole growing the game and bringing it to new parts of the world, but like, Australia doesn't have a major golf tour. Like, they have the Australian Golf Federation, they put on events, they're doing well for that. But why not go down? Why don't make Australia your main marketplace instead of doing it for America that already has the PGA Tour?
Yeah, especially like this week, what a letdown this week is going to be for any player out in the Liverpool Tour. They're going over to Singapore and it's going to be about 20 fans lining the fairways with no energy whatsoever. So there was an interview with Phil back in January on the Pat McAfee show. I think Nolan Up posted this earlier, and he was talking about how the reason for choosing all of these courses is that the tourism boards like Hong Kong Tourism or Singapore Tourism will throw like multiple millions at the Live Golf. Just say, hey, please bring your tour to us. And it's great for tourism, but it's shite for the product.
I just don't know, is it? I can understand the Australian Tourism Board paying for it. I just don't know why Singapore would bother when only like 1,500 fans show up. Like, what's even the point? Like, they can't possibly make their money back on that.
Yeah, and who even cares out in Singapore? Like, Singapore golf is the golf course out there are all owned by the government, which is a huge issue at the moment, whereby 90% of land is owned by the government, and apparently land is in a huge shortage, so supply isn't that big anyway.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem like golf is that big for their tourism industry.
I don't know. I just think the messaging that comes out of Live is obviously such shite. So.
But Live Adelaide did look good.
It did, but also like it's fine to Live Adelaide is just a big piss up, and that's fine. It's allowed to be that. Like if that's what they want to be, but don't try and dress it up as this massive success. Like it doesn't really matter what sport you bring out there. You're going to get a load of Aussies that want to go watch it. Like, it was half of Ireland was watching that thing, judging by my Instagram stories. So yeah, I don't know.
Okay, question. Are we more or less into the team events than before? Like,
I either make it all team or no team. I hate the toing and froing.
The jump back and forth, yeah.
Here's my thing. So I think that the live team format works really well when, like, no way everybody was slagging, like, the Boston, what's Rory's team, the Common, or the Frog,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think it works really well when the teams are based on a geographic location. And that's why the Rippers were so focused. Everyone was so focused on the Rippers this week, because it genuinely was their home event. Whereas when you're going to Singapore now and you have these players, like, Rippers are great, Louis Season's team is great, the rest of them are just random teams that are just thrown together.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I think the Live, or not the TWG or Tomorrow Golf, whatever that thing is. Yeah. Tigers League. That's why I think it will work, because even though the players aren't from those areas, at least you'll have buy-in from millions of fans that live in that area that will say, you know what, I'm going to support Roy's team because they are my team.
So yeah, if I was to help Live restart over, I would make 13 or 12 teams from different regions: South America, Australia, Asia, South Africa, like the UK, whatever. And then every Live country has an event. And so every team has a home event. Like, that's, like you said, the Ripper one worked well because it was in Australia, full of Australians. I think it would be super interesting if you went to Mexico and you played with like the South American guys, and then you went to Spain and whatever. I think that
would be so sick.
And that's why the Zurich Classic was good this year, because you had Shane and Rory playing together, playing for the Island of Ireland. Like they need to lean more into that. Like I was interested in watching the Hogards. I was interested in watching the Fitzpatricks, people that are playing for their own nationality. I don't really care about Zach Blair and whoever his teammate was, who's not even on the PGA Tour.
That would be so, Joe. Who else needs to lean into the team? Like that sounds like imagine we had Shane, Rory, Seamus Power, and Harrington, for example, just coming over as a four-man team, and they were competing against Cam and Leishman, and then that would be unbelievable. That next week, then they go back to they defeat Cam Smith's team, and they go to Australia and try and beat.
Where's the World Cup of Golf? I remember watching Graham McDowell and Darren Clark playing the World Cup of Golf.
Yeah, is it still an event or is it gone? Is it every 2 years or? No,
that's kind of entertaining.
Yeah,
anyway, no idea.
Anyway, we're getting into the weeds of it. Mark, what have we got coming up this week in terms of us making some money?
We got the CJ Cup, lads. I've got no chance to do any research here, so ask me about any courses. All I know is that it's the worst name. It's the CJ Cup Byron Nelson 2024, which sounds like the biggest tongue twister of all time. So I'm going to be placing most of my billies over there because I haven't had a chance to look at anything else. But elsewhere, we do have Live Golf going over to Singapore, and we have the DP World Tour. Ben, do you know where it's going this week?
China. It's the China Open this week.
I'm looking forward to hearing these bets in China. Do you just want to fire away with your bets first if you have them, Scott?
Sure.
Ben?
Scott, so, I didn't realize that Live was going to be on this week. Is there any Live players you want to slide into our selections? And Steele to go back to back?
In classic Scott fashion, there isn't. I won't be putting any money on Live Golf. Although I did see, I was going to mention the Live Golf when you brought it up. Did anyone see the video of Kevin Na absolutely losing it in the bushes? Because that really, really made me feel good about myself with my head cold. Watching him lose it in the bushes in Adelaide really perked me up a bit. So, no, Ben, unless it's someone you want to, we could take out someone. But I think this either could be the week that we absolutely crush Mark or we let him back into the races because of some of the people I've picked. But we'll roll with it.
Scott, I'm happy to go with your picks. Let's go with
love it. Love that teamwork. We're like the Lowry and McIlroy of golf podcasts. You can be McIlroy. So we split ours equally, Mark. So we're going to go China Open. We're actually going to take a leaf out of your book and we're going to back the favorite. we're going to go with Tom McKibben. We're going to go 30 billies on him. It's 16-1 on Tom. So we're feeling confident there. Also, we like Tom. And then in that kind of vein as well, friend of the pod brand, someone we've met a couple of times. We're going to go, he didn't play last week. Last man in the door to the event. So it's a Cinderella story. We're going to go 10 billies each way on Brandon Stone at 80-1.
Love that.
Yeah. Just backing him, one of the best ball strikers I've ever seen in person, and I played 9 holes of golf with him, so you could say we're best friends. So we're going to go, so that covers 50. And then the other 50, we've got 40 then on the CJ Cup. So we're going to go 20 to win on Tom Kim, 25-1. So Ireland's finest Tom Kim, born in Dublin. And then I'm going to go 5 each way on the second best ball striker I've ever seen in person, Ryan Fox, at 70-1. Big Foxy fans here. And then for our last one in the CJ Cup, we've gone 5 each way on a young man called Chris Kim. So Chris Kim is a 16-year-old British protege who played in the Junior Ryder Cup for Europe. And he is making his PGA Tour debut this week in Texas. And he is also the son of LPGA golfer Ji Hyun Soo.
We're obviously reading off the same article. I was just about to give that fact.
There you go. See? Well, I think it was everyone just obviously saw that a 16-year-old was playing the PGA Tour. So they're like, what? She started her career at 13 as well. So he's currently also studying for his GCSEs. So then naturally, at 1,000-1 each way, we're like, this is either how we crush Mark or we let him back in. So I'm going to bank on the 16-year-old.
I think he's sponsored by CJ. Whoever that company is. So he's in on a sponsor's exemption. But he did play in the Junior Ryder Cup. Yeah, protege, as you say. Love that.
Yeah. If someone
offers you 1,000-1 odds, you take it.
You take it. Absolutely, Ben. That not only are we taking it, we're putting 10 billies on it. Well, 5 each way on that. So, and then the last one, so we've got 10 billies left, and we thought, what would be the best person to pick? Do we go with the best name in golf, Cody Gribble? We're like, no. Will we go with Adrien Dumont du Chassa, who's going to be a future Ryder Cup legend, Belgian amateur number one? We said no. Instead, we're going to go 10 billies on night 14 of the darts, and we're going to go Luke Humphreys at 3-1 to win it on Thursday. So that kind of rattles off our 100 billies there.
You like Luke Humphreys, do you?
I felt this week, because last time I went for Littler, he absolutely bottled it. And I was like, you know, Humphreys, I feel this could be his week. I was going to go Aspinall, and then I got a bit of a shock how far down the odds he was. But I kind of was like, you know what? Let's give the listeners a bit of a win this week. So we'll go with Luke Humphreys.
What odds is Luke Littler this week? Because he is coming to some good form.
He is the favourite. I'm not 100% sure I can find it, but he was the favourite, yeah.
Michael Van Gerwen likes to call him Kebab Boy.
Saw that, which I think is absolutely hilarious. But yeah, Luke Littler, I think, is 9-4 outright, and then Luke Humphreys 3-1.
Okay, we like an outsider. Scott, I love those bets.
Thank you. So best of luck beating that, Mark.
I was really hoping Humphreys is going to be the favourite, so I could just lay into you for two favourites. But nope. Yeah, listen, I'm going to match your tick with my tack, and I'm going to go Keith Mitchell 50 billies to win at 33-1. Keith Mitchell is looking good right now. He's getting strokes off the tee and approach in each of his last 10 starts. I just love the way Keith Mitchell is striking the ball right now. So 50 billies at 33-1. I'm going to go 15 billies each way on Peter Quest at 70-1. And the reason for that...
Do you think that's the moment when you realize that you love golf, or you're a golf nerd, when you make the sentence, I'm just loving the way Keith Mitchell is striking the ball right? Because I can't think of a shot Keith Mitchell has played in the last year that I've looked at, but I do recognize the visor. So that's when you know you watch a lot of golf.
I am loving the way Keith Mitchell is looking nowadays.
Loving the way he's striking the golf ball. Peter Quest, is that what you said?
Peter Quest, yeah, 25 years old. He's one of the longest drivers in the field at the Byron Nelson. He's 2 top 10s since last 2 starts at the Vallejo Texas Open and the Corrales, and he finished 14th at this golf course last year. So 15 billies each way at 70-1. Scott, I can see you shitting yourself there. You're very, very nervous. And finally, a top 20 double. Peter Quest and Jonathan Vegas, 20 billies at 20-1. Johnny Vegas, just elite golf ball driver of the golf balls in terms of accuracy. I love the way Johnny Vegas is striking the ball at the moment.
I can't stop thinking of actual Johnny Vegas.
Yeah.
If I were out there, I would have won by now.
Johnny Vegas is one of my favorite people ever. I think he's
Scott, don't you know him somehow?
No, he was just out in the farm in Kyo's before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. No, I wish I knew Johnny Vegas. That would be my fun fact every week or every place I went. I
know Johnny Vegas.
I like, Mark, how you did so much research that in all of that, you only named 3 golfers. I like how you included Peter Quest in your double as well for the rest of your billy. So if they don't show up, this is why you're in the red, man. You need to do some in-depth review of golfers who have a very little chance of winning. And then when they come off, you make it seem like you know lots about golf.
Scott, you need to start selling that. You need to start selling your ebook on how to bet on the golf tournaments. It's we need to see that out on the Quack Golf page soon.
Hey, look, we're always looking to monetize something.
Excellent. Glad they're locked in. Glad we're back on track. I look forward to watching Luke Humphreys win on Thursday night.
For 10 billies at 3-1.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's profit on the board. Mark, there's a reason we're in the green. Now, I will say this is like football. You never back the early kickoff. And the last time when I backed the darts on the Thursday, Luke Littler didn't win. So this could be another one of those, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm keeping in fashion of including something out there for the rest of the listeners that aren't just golf with this podcast.
Yeah. All right, lads, we all set?
Good to go.
Let the games begin.
Enjoy the week. Hope you get out there, play a bit of golf, play well, play hard, play fair. Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.